I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
B&T Satellite has you covered with a 2-year TV price guarantee from Dish. Great TV service, stable price, no surprises.
Don't call the 800 number.
Call 530-241-3474 or visit B&T Satellite, your local premier Dish retailer today.
Monthly equipment fees and other restrictions apply. Recording hours vary, 2,000 hours based on SD programming. Remote viewing requires internet connection and compatible mobile device.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, "Our customers are warm friends." We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle. Right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Carlene's and Deja Vu Restaurants.
The tradition continues at the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista, featuring delicious steaks and seafood, chicken soup, salads, and much more. The Dry Creek Station, family-owned and operated, open since 1992, serving dinner Tuesday through Sunday from 5 to 9 p.m. with happy hour from 3 to 5. The Dry Creek Station is famous for their steamer clams. Friday through Sunday, don't miss their fabulous weekend specials. The Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. So come on down to the Dry Creek Station, where quality and value meet.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
People are so averse to just, like, using studies. Like, man, just use the data. That's what actually makes any kind of... That's the only thing that matters, really, to me, is the data. Like, the only time I will accept an anecdotal argument is if there is no data. But people use anecdotal arguments, and you get told to use anecdotal arguments. Like, if you take any kind of class on communication, if you take any... even just like in high school, if you take classes on, just in your English classes, classes on how to construct an argument, you get told, you know, connect it to a story. Your arguments will land more if they're, you know, a story. And it's like, yeah, but I hate that. And it shouldn't, you know?
And that's kind of what I was saying about the abortion thing. As terrible as it is that this happened to this 10-year-old girl, does the negativity and the difficulty that a 10-year-old girl has to have to go through, does that, and I don't care if you're on the left or the right, does this one 10-year-old girl's life outweigh the millions of women who are going to be forced to raise a baby or the millions of babies that are going to get aborted, regardless of what side you're on?
Right.
How does this one person undo these other massive, massive arguments, you know? And it's like,
yeah, you can't base an art, anything that has to do with millions of people on like the story of one person. You know, right. I get choosing examples and that sort of thing, but examples should be, I think it is reasonable if you're not like making an argument, but you're like illustrating an argument, you know, to use.
Sure. I mean, it's good to know.
Like, this is kind of, you know, just to tell the story of how it works on average in a comprehensible way. I think that's reasonable, but like people just get so caught up in just, you know, telling these stories. And it's like, if you don't come to the same conclusion I do based on this story, then you're a monster. It's like,
right.
My dude,
like, pregnant 10-year-old girl, mic drop.
Exactly. And it's like, my dude, just show me some pie charts. Show me some spreadsheets. Show me something boring. That's where the truth lies.
The truth lies in boring as all hell.
The truth is boring. The truth is, because our conception of what is boring is based on what happens the most often, which is the truth, which is reality. So, like, usually the truth is boring. Anyway.
Okay, I've used up too much of this. I still have a messed up story to tell you. I haven't told you yet.
Please.
Okay, so I'm working out here in my office. I don't know what I call it. It's a garage that's been turned into a room that is now my office studio. Studio, we'll call
gotcha.
It. I'm out here in my studio working, and my cat is very vocal. He will not shut up. He's just all meow, meow, and he's always this way. He just constantly talks smack. And, like, he comes in here, and he never turns down pets. You put your hand down, there he is. And I hear him meowing in my room, in my office here. And I call him. I'm all meow, meow. That's what I call him. He doesn't show up. And I put my hand down, meow, meow. Still don't show up. He hasn't shut up. He just hasn't shown up. So he's still meowing away. I lean back. I take a look over there. He looks up at me like, meow, and meows in my face again. I'm all, what the hell? Come here. Still doesn't come. And so I roll back, and I take a look. And he looks at me, and he looks down and starts going after a mouse in my office.
Oh.
And I'm all, like, I want to deal with this. I'm, like, on the brink of going to bed. And I look at the mouse, and I'm all like, there's something wrong with that mouse. That mouse has something extra on it. That mouse has wings.
Ooh.
So there's a bat crawling across my floor that my cat has already mashed up. I got, like, some snack food here that I had eaten, an empty bowl, glass bowl, so I go to try to get the bat. I got to get it out of here. I don't know what to do with it, right? And I go and I catch the, shoving the cat out of the way, and I catch the bat. I put the bowl on top of it. And as I do, I hear, as I break one of its bones and its little arm wing. And it's not making any noise. It's barely moving. I got it under the bowl. I don't know what to do, man. It's like, what do you do? And, like, so I, like, get some paper towels, and, like, I don't
you
know if
it's just tested in case it bit you, so you don't have to get a rabies shot, is what you do.
It didn't bite me. Might have bit the cat.
Well, might have. Bites are you can't tell.
Oh, believe me, it didn't come anywhere near me like that, unless it, like, stuck up on me and sucked my blood from behind. But
possible.
So there it is, and I get the wad of paper towels, and I pick it up, and I wrap it up in the paper towels. I fold it under, so now I have a dying bat in the paper towels. What do you do?
I like I said, I call animal something. I call animal control, and I'm like, hey, I got a bat. It was in a room where I work, and I need to know if it has rabies.
Okay, I went a whole different direction on this.
Yeah, what do you do? Bat casserole?
I beat it to death with a bowl to make sure that it was dead.
Threw the bowl away. Chauncey! Why? You had it.
I didn't want it to suffer, man. I didn't know what to do.
No, okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense. It was already injured. That makes sense.
My cat had already probably hurt it beyond the thing, and then I broke its wing, the one thing that a bat uses, and sure ain't using its ears, and, like, or its eyes, you know? And, yeah, so I beat that thing to death with the bowl, washed the bowl, put it in the dishwasher. Gary made me throw the bowl away.
Well, did you get a shot?
No.
You were handling it.
I never touched it.
I thought you... Oh, well, yeah, I guess you beat it to death with a bowl.
Yeah, while wrapped in paper towels.
Still, it can spread through fluids. It only takes, like, one molecule.
I'm pretty confident that I...
Okay, I'm just saying.
I don't know, man. Now you got me freaked out.
Well, get...
My mouth is dry, Kara. What?
You're gonna die, Chauncey. Get a shot.
Is that the deal with rabies? That by the time you see by the time there's any like effects, it's a death sentence.
Well, you sleep in there sometimes, don't you?
I do. Yeah.
Well then.
I didn't want the whole world to know, but okay, fine.
Okay. Well, if you find a bat in a room that you sleep in, then yeah, you should definitely get a shot. But I mean,
this bat wasn't hanging out in here. This bat was caught outside and brought in by my cat.
Well,
guaranteed.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, no.
Then maybe.
This ain't the first corpse he's brought in.
I would just bring it up with, you know, if you know anyone who has any medical training, see what they you're probably.
All right, everybody, like and subscribe down below and tell me if you think I can
tell me in the comments
shot.
if Chauncey Hawworth, I'm going to die.
Yeah, like and subscribe. All right.
Look, I mean, the shot is painful, but, like, you may as well, right? Like, better safe than sorry.
I can handle a shot. I'm fine with that. If that's what I should be doing, I'll get the shot. You know, it's fine. But
okay. It's probably unnecessary.
But. Yeah, well, I've been feeling bad all night and all day for beating that thing to death. So.
Yeah, and from the rabies.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes
symptomatic. You're already dead.
All right, do you got any
Let's talk about nuclear war.
All right.
So New York City launched a new PSA on the TV focusing on preparing people for a possible nuclear attack. So it's just a quick little video basically just saying, what do you do if there's a nuclear attack? It's kind of interesting. You get into a building. You get away from the windows, you try to get as close to the middle of the building as possible, or underground, because that's what's going to protect you from radiation. You know, you want to close off all the doors, you want to, well, anyway, there's a bunch of stuff. As interesting as the PSA is, it freaked out a lot of New Yorkers, who didn't probably think there was any need to know this information. Mm-hmm. Which is understandable. It's the segment you sent me indicated that this was probably related to basically the fact that we're in a big conflict in Europe with Russia right now. But it didn't, at no point did anyone actually say, yes, this is why we did the PSA. People were just like, it's good information to have, which is like, okay. I assume that's why, but like.
Yeah. And it is good information to have, you know, and, you know, there's a lot of good information to have. Mm-hmm. And this is what I thought when I saw it was like, why didn't they say, well, New York City is going to update a bunch of our information, including like, you know, what to do in a subway disaster, what to do in this case, what to do in a nuclear attack, all sorts of stuff. We're going to release them all. But not like, yeah. Hey, we got something new for you guys to check out. It's what to do when the Russians try to kill your ass. You know, it's like.
It's by itself, nuclear attack.
Yeah, no, I think there's probably better ways that they could release this. But at the same time, we have to realize that we live in a world where nobody's listening, nobody cares, and half of the people that do care think you're lying. So when they put out the information, if they don't put it out in some sort of break the internet, if they don't tape it to Kim Kardashian's butt in a videotape, nobody is going to watch it, and nobody is going to care, and nobody's going to learn that information. So I was a little tossed up on the release of this video, you know.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
I didn't really think about that, but yeah, maybe the fact that they're releasing it in and of itself will get people to look at it just because of the, oh my God, we're all going to die factor, and maybe some of that will be retained if, you know, the day ever comes, right?
Right, the fanfare will get it out there, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of smart. Like, it is, like you said, yeah, you have to weigh it against what's the value of getting people this information that they probably will never use. Hopefully, right? You know, we've got big other problems than people being unprepared if that day ever comes. Versus, you know, the possible detriment of freaking people out unnecessarily in a time and an age when, you may have noticed, people are a little keyed up, perhaps unnecessarily. You know, perhaps people are a little freaked out by media that is telling them stuff that they don't really need to know, that is unnecessarily frightening and sensationalistic. That is, I think, as people have observed, a problem of our modern era. So, you know, I think this is a good impulse. I do think, okay, but was this necessary? Right. Like, also, the square footage of New York, not particularly huge. And you gotta think, the Russians would probably hit it with at least a couple bombs.
So, what do you think? The PSA should have said something to the effect of, if we are nuked, you're going to die. So instead, take this advice, and that is, those who worry suffer twice. You know?
Perfect PSA, Chauncey. I love it. Why didn't they hire you? I love it.
But I do wonder about the meeting that this happened in, because I understand why people are going, do they know something that we don't know? Because there was a table full of theoretically educated people that sat around and said, well, what does this town really need? And one guy's just all, somebody to actually clean the public bathrooms, and somebody's like, no, you know, like, maybe we should do a nuclear PSA. And everybody's just all, that's great. That'll bring us all together. That'll be helpful in this moment. Or they said, yeah, we really might get nuked by the Russians. I don't know. I get why it set people off, for sure.
Yeah, I would be a lot more worried if I felt like there were people in that meeting who, like, knew stuff that the general public wasn't privy to.
Right.
You know, if it was five councilmen and also a five-star general, and everyone's like, you should clean the bathrooms, and the general's like, you need to do a nuclear PSA. We're like, okay, General Ripper, we got it, we'll do it.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
That would have been concerning.
Yeah, but a lot of argument coming back from...
Right, it was like, okay, Jerry... We'll make that happen.
Right.
But it's not clear that that's the situation. So if any, whoever decided this was a thing to do made that determination just based on the fact on they're looking at the same news as the rest of us.
Right, which creates which creates the sub news segment of this news segment, and that is that, are we in a proxy war, and are they using this situation to their advantage? So we know that the Russians basically used our social media to whip us up into a fur, you know.
Sure.
And so here the Russians are basically saying on the news and putting out that they will nuke us. They're saying we're in World War III already. They're saying this sort of stuff is coming out of Russia.
Sure. Yeah.
Now they're not saying it hugely, but they are implying it on a regular basis and straight up saying it once or twice. And in a world of mutually assured destruction, maybe they've just weaponized saying it.
Oh, I think that's absolutely what it is.
I think what I'm getting at.
I think they are basically just trying to create friction on the American side to doing every little new thing because they don't want Ukraine to drag out anymore. Like, Russia is eventually going to conquer Ukraine. They just have more stuff. They, you know, I'm sure they didn't want it to drag on even this long. So from the West's perspective, we're just trying to drag the war out as long as possible to create a higher opportunity, like, just to make Russia think more the next time they want to do this. They are weaponizing this sort of Matt Richard Nixon mad bomber thing just to try and get us to not. Right, so I don't think they would actually do it, but I also didn't think they would actually invade Ukraine. I would say we are definitely in a proxy war, though. Like, well, it's also not the first time we've been in a proxy war with Russia since the Cold War ended. You know, Syria, you could also definitely have described that way. We were giving aid to one side, Russia was giving aid to the other side.
Right, but that's not what's happening here.
No, that's true.
We're giving aid to one side that's directly fighting Russia. At best, we're in half a proxy war. We're like halfway to an actual war with these people, you know?
No, that's true. That's true.
And yeah.
But, you know, there have been a lot of wars you could describe as proxy wars that were like that. Russia and Afghanistan. That wasn't an actual war. But
the Russians weren't actually fighting, though, were they?
Yeah, Russia. That was back when we, like, were arming the Taliban.
Yeah, I saw Rambo 3. I know what this is about.
Okay, so the Russians were trying to conquer Afghanistan.
Right.
They were trying to occupy Afghanistan, and we
I thought that was a proxy war where they were arming insurgents and we were arming insurgents.
No, the Russians were directly in Afghanistan.
So they're used to this.
Yeah, they are. I mean, It is strange, though, because this kind of us versus Russia kind of thing really hasn't happened since the Cold War ended. So it's really just in the last 10 years or so that it's really kind of started to be a thing again, which I have mixed feelings about, to be honest, because I really don't like Russia. You know, I think Vladimir Putin is a monster. I think a hyper-stratified, bigoted society controlled by just a handful of oligarchs and, at the top, basically a dictator. I don't love that model for the world. You know,
no.
It's an autocracy through and through. But also, I have big problems with the idea that the U.S. just gets to do whatever to any country it wants. So, like, on some level, it's like, okay, I'm happy someone is challenging our influence. I wish it was someone I liked more. But it also, to me, maybe it doesn't matter who's challenging our influence as long as we know we can't just do whatever, wherever. Because every time in history, I feel like we've thought that, and we've had, like, an administration who that was kind of their policy. We've gotten into huge problems. You know, at the beginning of the Cold War, at the beginning of the War on Terror, both times we went off super half-cocked and ended, you know, we ended up in Vietnam or Iraq or Afghanistan, and none of those countries have recovered and probably really won't recover. So
Yeah, I would say one big difference here is that the Ukraine, is wholeheartedly asking for help. They don't want this.
Right. No, that's true. And I'm not really even talking about Ukraine. I'm more talking about stuff like Syria, where, you know, because Syria was a case that was a little more complicated, I think, just in terms of, like, we, you know, Muammar Gaddafi was a bad guy, but, like, or Bashar was a bad guy. Gaddafi was Libya, sorry. But, Assad was a bad guy. But, like, so were the Saudis, and also it is like, okay, and they didn't want to trade with us. So it's like, wondering what sort of the financial incentive was there. So, but Ukraine, I think, is much more straightforward.
I'm still marinating on what you're saying about that we need to be challenged by somebody, and maybe there's some truth there that we need to be challenged and pushed back. I'd feel a lot better about it if we were challenged and pushed back by the EU or the United Nations.
I agree.
Russia.
Right. Know? No. Yeah. I mean, our adversaries have been Russia and China, which are like both autocracies, which I don't love. But all I'm saying on that basically is that the United States has a history of fomenting regime change in other countries, in not even doing that, but using the threat of that to make other countries do what we want. And a lot of times not even for security reasons, just for, like, economic reasons. Security. Yeah, you know, we want you, you know, you have valuable minerals in these hills, and we want our companies to be able to mine there. And if you say no, maybe we'll replace you with a, like, you know, maybe we'll fund rebels.
With Saddam Hussein. Exactly.
Iraq. So we tend to do stuff like that, and I'm just saying maybe a world where those countries have the option to say, hey, Russia, can you help us with this? And Russia's like, sure, why not? We like messing with the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Is better than a world where countries in that position just literally have no recourse, which has kind of been the world we lived in since the end of the Cold War.
Right.
So,
well, I'm trying to pull my mind out of this sort of, as you know, I always kind of refer to myself as like this sci-fi belief system.
Sure.
And I'm trying to pull my mind out of that, because that's definitely one thing. The argument I always gave other parents when they're just all, my kids only watch half an hour worth of television a day. I'm just all, well, good luck with your weird-ass kid. You know, because like...
That was me.
Yeah.
That was me. Well, we had time limits.
The question is, are you raising your kids for the perfect world, or are you raising them for this world?
Right.
And so, you know, the argument has to be made, are decisions being made for the perfect world? Because I don't mind that as being the end goal, but the perfect world ain't going to come in your lifetime, and it ain't going to come in my lifetime or anybody else here that's listening. So what we're trying to do is make this world better, and it becomes difficult when you start to say, when one starts to say, I'm not just putting it on you, because I say these things too, these sort of like extremists, well, if the world was like this, or if we did this, or got challenged by this, you know. And like, so I'm trying to, I don't know, just think more about keeping the boat afloat and less about what should be.